Before I begin here, I will say this. I won't tell you who said it. A particular member of my family said it went rather long this morning. And, I took it to mean I was a little bit long-winded, so I'll make up for that this evening. But it is good to see everyone. We're happy you're here. Any visitors among us, we're grateful you're here. And I pray that we are an encouragement to you. We want you to know you are an encouragement to us. All right, so the book of James. We're going to be in chapter 2. And just lately, I keep coming back and back and back to the book of James. And I'm thinking about maybe, since I can't get out of James, I might as well do some sermons out of it. I want to do another sermon series. I look back, it's just over 3 years ago. I did maybe a month or two, 6, 8 weeks maybe, sermon series, the book of James. I might revisit that. But anyways, if I do that, you'll know next week. And so this will be the first lesson in that, I guess. And I want us to see here in James chapter 2, five probing or searching questions. Now, James is such a unique and interesting book, and I'd say a good way to remember it, it's the book of continuance, how to continue in your faith. And so when we get to chapter 2, we're learning something about faith and works, right? And the question comes in that, is this teaching that we have to work to earn our salvation? Well, no, that's not what it's about. Do we have to work to be justified? Well, yes. But what does that mean? How does that play out? It's kind of like I always say, you don't go to church to get saved. You gather with the church because you're saved. Right? We don't work to somehow earn our salvation. Rather, we work because we're saved. We want to glorify God in the works that we do. In our morning adult class, we talked about Islam this morning. We're kind of going through different topics. And, one of the biggest things about religions like that, it's all works-oriented, right? God doesn't have to give you anything, right? And he won't give you anything unless you want to do some stuff for him. And maybe, just maybe, he'll let you into heaven. Hinduism, Buddhism, right? They're all like that. You gotta do certain things to reach a certain spiritual level. And I've got this little, it's a fictional conversation, but it's based on a real one. Keith Mosier wrote this. And I know it's based on a real one because I've had similar conversations. And the fact is, probably most of you had something similar to this. And so he writes this. He says, this wasn't the first time Carl and Frank discussed the Bible. It's simple, Carl. Baptism is a work. It's something you're doing. Read Ephesians 2:8. Anyone can see that salvation is a gift from God. Right there it says that salvation is not of works. Can't be any plainer. Carl smiled with kind eyes. Frank, we've been friends a long time. You know as well as I do that works, the works in Ephesians 2:8, are things we can boast about. I agree. Salvation doesn't come by anything we do for ourselves. But there's a difference between doing works of our own making and God's works. No one can be saved without obeying God. Without obedience to God's works, we are spiritually dead, just like James 2 and verse 26 says. I knew you'd bring that up again. I talked to my pastor, and he explained that James was talking to already saved people. So you can't really use that verse. Romans 4, 1 through 5 proves that we are saved without works to start with. Sure, we have to show we are spiritually alive after we are saved by doing good works, but that's all James is saying. All right, so, maybe that kind of conversation sounds familiar with you. I've had it many times throughout the years. And if you look at this, what about Frank's claims here? Is the faith that James writes about that we're going to look at, is that limited to simply doing good works as Christians? Or can we kind of find a richer, deeper understanding of the text and a connection between obedience and saving faith? That's, I think, the proper question. So here in James chapter 2, James is going to ask these five probing questions or searching questions to help us really think more clearly about what it means to believe and obey God. So you see those five questions on the screen there. So let's just read for a moment. Begin in verse 14, James chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, I'm reading out of the New King James. And I think that's important. I'll note this here in a minute, especially if you're reading out of the King James also. So if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Right, so that's how this conversation here is starting. So just right off here, number one, is there a difference between a sinner's faith and a Christian's faith? Now really think about that. The idea that pre-conversion faith and post-conversion faith are inherently different, right? I don't believe so. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. Now, genuine faith involves trust and obedience, before and after conversion. And, you know, the obedient acts that flow from faith, you know, differ for saints and sinners. But the nature of faith is the same. It's trust and obedience, right? And that's really what Romans 4 is all about with Abraham. Saving faith involves, you know, belief and trust and obedience. Matter of fact, over here in Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6, now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so Romans 4 and James 2 is talking about a God-pleasing faith. Both of them are, right? And both of these passages are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They do not conflict with one another. And here in Romans 4, so Paul, what we see in Romans chapter 4 is Paul's going to define, he's going to clarify what faith is, right? Romans is that book of clarification. He's going through clarifying, you know, Gentiles, you're a sinner. Jews, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We need the covering of Christ's blood. That's how chapter 3 ends. And you get that covering by faith. So what's faith? So you get chapter 4. Let's talk about Abraham, right? The father of the righteous. This is what Romans 4 is all about. And yes, it says this here in the beginning, Romans 4 and verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, right? This is all talking about Genesis 15, what's going on there. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So does Romans chapter 4 and James chapter 2 conflict? No, right? And so we're going to kind of hash this out as we go. Because James is talking about genuine faith is an active faith. And I'm going to do something, right? Wow, I've been saved from my sins. You know, I'm going to do something with you. I'm going to work for God. You're going to see it how I respond in my daily life. Right? A brother or sister, they're hungry, they're naked, destitute. You know, I'm going to do something. Right? I said, you know, good luck. I'll pray for you. Using prayer as a crutch. And so that's what we need to understand in this. Now, the sinner's faith, of course, it's got to be genuine, right? But there's a different standard to start off. There's still trust and obedience there. Well, they need to obey the teachings of Jesus, right? To believe that he is who he says he is. John 8:24, and he says confess, he says repent, he says be baptized, right? So there is that, a sinner's faith. And on the other hand, a saved person's faith, what we really get to learn here, and you know, many other passages, a saved person's faith is demonstrated in Christian action, right? Charity, morality, impartiality, humility, worship, evangelism, etc. And so this is where James is coming from. Now, You know, I think James is also looking at this in a very unique sense. If you remember, you go back to John chapter 7. So James, the brother of Jesus, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Remember all that? So I think, you know, and of course he came to believe, right? He looked at the end, wow, my brother's the Messiah. And he obeyed him. Right? So James is coming from a unique perspective here, and I think that's important to keep in mind. All right, next here, I want you to think about this phrase, what does it profit? What does it profit? Now, this the probing nature here, and so James is going to, it's like he's laying out hypotheticals, or you say rhetorical questions, about faith here, and it's kind of a question and answer format that he's inviting us, the reader, to put ourselves into the narrative and answer these questions, right? So he's asking, what does it profit, right? And that's King James, New King James. Now that Greek word there, profit, is ophelos in the Greek, and it's the idea of an advantage derived from something. ESV, I think, says, what good is it? I can't remember. What good does it do? That's the ESV. Right, so your translation is a little bit different there. You know, New American Standard, I don't know what use is it, right? So it's getting you to think, rhetorical question, a question you should know the answer to. All right, so this is probing us to think about this and answer this. In other words, what spiritual benefit is to be found in mere faith talk? Or just merely believing something, you know, in your mind and not doing anything about it? Right, you know, or we could ask, you know, what benefit follows from accepting Jesus but then rejecting what he says? Well, the answer is nothing, none. Right, Jesus asked in Luke 6 and verse 46, he said, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you to do? Right, you don't do the things which I say. So that brings us to number three. Now, King James here, New King James, says, can faith save him? Now, we're gonna think a little bit about the Greek language here because I think that's important. Most other major trusted translations will say something basically, it adds the that in there. Can that faith save him? And so you got to understand this about, you know, when you translate from the Greek to the English, many times you have the definite article the in the Greek that sometimes we translate into the English and sometimes we don't. Because it doesn't make sense the way that we talk to always add it there. And for example, I mean, there's many. You don't have to go, Matthew 8. I think Matthew 8, verse 3 or 4, somewhere in there. In the Greek, well, in the English it says, Jesus said to him, but in the Greek there's a definite article where if you were just straight translated, it would say, the Jesus said to him. Now, we don't talk like that, right? So when the King James, New King James don't have that, you know, that article, that there, and then all the other major translations do, that doesn't mean the King James, New King James is not being faithful to the text, right? So, but I think to have a better understanding, we need to add the that in there, the article. Right? Can that fit? Well, what's that referring to? What's the that there for? And so if you kind of play this all out, begin at verse 14, and you read this, you know, the faith that's in question here is a faith that does nothing. Right? A workless faith. Can that faith save him? It's a rhetorical question. Well, the answer is absolutely not. Right, and so James here is telling us such faith cannot save a person. Right, and we want to bring that forward to modern American churchgoers. Can sitting in a pew, being a pew warmer, week after week, save you? And that's all you do. Can that faith save you? Well, the answer is no. Right, that's not my words. It's pretty simple. Right, that's what James is saying, and it's a little convicting, it's a little confronting, but that's the purpose of the Word of God. Matter of fact, that's what you get in chapter 1, the mirror of God's Word. Right, are you going to be just a hearer and do nothing, and not a doer? And so James is kind of developing that here. Remember, you know, the purpose of the whole book, it's the book of continuance. How am I going to continue in the faith? Well, I need to be a doer, not just a hearer. You know, I need to be a person that doesn't just say Christian things. I need to do them. Right? And I do it for the glory of God. So that's what he's laying out here for us. But next here, before we go to our fourth of five questions. So James, he's saying, can that faith save him? And by the way, kind of a side note here, this is literally the only place in the Bible that has the phrase saved by faith. A little bit, you know, Ephesians 2 is a little bit similar, but the phrase saved by faith, and it's literally teaching that you're not saved by faith, right? If you didn't know that, right? You're saved by, an active, obedient response to trusting God and obeying him. All right, anyways, so James here proves that faith requires work by its very nature. And then look at verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, this is going to bring us to number four, so don't let me lose you here. I told you this could be a short sermon. So now we're going to get into some illustrations here. All right, let's talk about Abraham and Rahab. Why? Well, James says, to get the point across, I want you to think about Abraham and Rahab. I want you to think about these two individuals and what they did concerning their belief system. Right? They didn't just say and do nothing. And if you read 17, let's read 18 through 21. That's also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You see, he keeps saying it over and over again. Now remember, he's already said two times, verse 14 and verse 16, what does it profit? What use is it? Right, if you're just... you just got words of faith with no action. Well, the answer, it doesn't profit anything. Right? So he's kind of, you know, hammering this over and over again. And so now what he's going to do, he said, well, let's talk about Abraham. Right? Was not Abraham, verse 21, our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? All right. Yes. Right, James says, so here in verses 22 and 23, he's appealing to the facts. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, talking about Abraham, and by works of faith was made perfect? There's that Greek word teleos, means mature, means complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Right? We already read that over in Romans 4. I was talking about the event over in Genesis 15. Right? So, what did Abraham do? Well, he didn't just, when God said, leave the land of Ur, you know, say, okay, I'll leave and not do anything. Right? He left his country. Right? You're going to have, you're 100, you don't have a child yet, but your descendants can be like the stars in the sky. Okay, I believe you. Well, now this one child is born, I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. Okay. Right? And then we learn over in Hebrews 11, he just thought, well, God would raise him from the dead, right? Trust and obedience. Abraham was, Paul was using Abraham to teach us that in Romans 4. And James is using that to teach us here in James 2. If you actually jump back here real quick to Hebrews 11, let me just read 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And he kind of goes on, the writer of Hebrews, to really highlight Abraham's faith, while along with others, you know, Noah and Abel and everyone else. So the point is here, back in James, so James notes here in verse 22, right, you see that faith was working with his works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. And so then in verse 23, he's going to apply that to Abraham. Now look at verse 24, that he applies his teachings to everybody. You see that a man is justified by works and not faith alone. He keeps saying that. What do you think he's trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that you're not going to be justified without works, even though those works don't earn you salvation, right? Hopefully we can tell the difference. I don't work because I'm saved. I don't work to get saved. That's impossible, right? We are saved by grace. So James talked about the kind of faith that justifies a person in God's sight. You're doing something with what God gave you, right? You're busy with the Father's business. I've been saved. Wow, I'm in awe of that salvation. I don't deserve it, can't earn it, but God loves me and saves me through the blood of Christ. I'm going to do something about it. You can't stop me from glorifying God and working for him. And then he throws in Rahab, of course, to reaffirm the point, right? Was she not justified by works? Yes. And James asserts that she was justified in the same way in verse 25. And so then he has his conclusion here in verse 26, for as the body, right? If you haven't got it yet, he said, think about it this way. Right? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Right? So you've got a lot of probing questions in all of this. And the last probing question to this part here, number five, is, do you really want to know the answer? Right? Do you really want to know the truth? Right? Can we handle the truth? You know, we say we're people of truth, want the truth. Give it to me straight. Right? I'm willing to look into the mirror of God's word, like he talks about here in chapter 1, that word of truth, the implanted word, the word that saves, the perfect law of liberty. Let me have it. Right? You want the truth, you want the facts. Right? And that question's for all of us when we look at the text here. And so the end point here, I think I'd like for us to take home is, have I been faithful in my works? Knowing, I can't say it enough, you cannot earn your salvation. You know, if God lets you live 100,000 years and you worked every hour of those 100,000 years, you still do not deserve heaven. You don't deserve salvation. You cannot earn it. Absolutely, we're not saved without grace. Right, but a faith-saving action is me living in response to that grace. Right? What am I doing with this wonderful salvation that God has allowed me to have? Right. So what do I need to do? Well, I think the simple answer is, it's simple, but I know there's a lot to it. You got to get busy working for the Father. You got to get busy with the Father's business. Right. What are your priorities in this life? What's more important to you? You know, as adult believers, you know, when that question's asked of us, I think we need to be honest in answering that. And lots of times we fail, right? We're lazy, right? We get in a rut. We want to do what we want to do. You know, I don't want to do what the church is doing. I got my own thing going, right? Are you living out what James chapter 2 is teaching us? So convicting, confronting, but that's okay. We're going to look at it honestly. So I appreciate your attention, and if you're here this evening and you are subject to the gospel invitation, that opportunities, it's always open, and again, it doesn't have to be at the end of a lesson, right? Anytime, if you need to put on Christ's baptism or be restored, or you need prayers for reconciliation, whatever, we can do that anytime, but this is a perfect opportunity for those, anyone that might need that. We'd love to help you, love to show you the love of God. So if you have any need whatsoever, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.